With the help of the Lord, preach from the theme of the tall, tan, talented temptations hit. We will preach from the theme, Just My Imagination Running Away With Me. And we will take a look at John chapter 2 verses 23 to 25. When Jesus, now this is the Revised Standard Version. When Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Passover, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to testify about anyone, for he himself knew what was in everyone. Now check out the Revised Standard Version. During the time he was in Jerusalem, those days of the Passover feast, many noticed the signs he was displaying. Seeing they pointed straight to God and trusted their lives to him, but Jesus didn't entrust his life to them. He knew inside and out how untrustworthy they were. He didn't need any help in seeing right through them. My great grandma used to say, boy, I could see straight through you. Now see where she got it from. My Lord. Repeat after me, please. Possibilities are fertile. When there is no imagination, but realization in God. Possibilities are fertile. When there is no imagination, but realization in God. The lyrics of the Temptations hit single, Just My Imagination, describes a man who is in an imaginary relationship with a woman who in reality doesn't even know he exists. Y'all brothers remember that? See that sister coming down the hall in school and she walked by and you just, boy, if she would be my woman. And y'all sisters know too. Brother goes by and you say, hi, John. And he just say, hey, what's up? And keep going. But the first stanza of the song begins with Eddie Kendricks singing in his fine falsetto. Each day at my window, I watch her as she passes by. I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy to have a girl like her. It's truly a dream come true. Out of all the fellows in the world, she belongs to you. But it is just my imagination running away with me. Family, in this man's imagination, imaginative, creative mind, he forms a worthless assumption and a hopeless illusion of being in romantic relation with a particular woman. A relationship that did not exist in all probability, probably would not ever exist. Family and imagination has its creative benefits, but it also is not, if not connected with reality or fact, the imagination is nothing more than a person's illusion. Even worse, a person's self-deception. You follow me? Truth be told, people develop illusions and delusions, believing that they beliefs that contradict reality. Illusions and delusions that contradict reality. Some student is imagining and believing that he's going to get an A in class, but the reality is he won't get anything but a failing grade because he hasn't passed the test. in the class. Somebody joins the Navy imagining, believing they will travel, seeing the world, but the reality is they wind up getting stuck in latrine duty on a nuclear submarine and not seeing daylight for 30 days at a time. People fantasize about themselves, their family, as better than others and better than most until they are confronted by personal faults and deal with family dysfunction. Children are under the illusion that everything they ask for, their parents are obligated to get it. I know that's an illusion. Some white folk are illusional and delusional to say that slavery wasn't so bad for Africans. And your president is under the illusion that by his leadership that he is making America great. Do I have a witness? Somebody married or was in a relationship with another Christian, imagining that being Christian is all that it takes to being equally yoked. Can I help somebody with this? Besides being Christian, you'd better be equally yoked in your view of finances. You better be equally yoked in your family raising practices. You better be equally yoked in your hopes and your habits and seeing yourself in a future together. I don't know about you, but I know some Christians that don't act so Christ-like even in marriage. Talk to me, somebody. Here's a footnote here. Bible tells us that we ought to love one another, but not to like each other. Doesn't say that we ought to like each other. Did you hear what I said? We may love a person, and there are still things about that person that we do not like. Stay with me. Y'all remember Richard Pryor, don't you? When Tommy said, I'm in love with a girl that I can't stand. That means he loves her, but there's some things about her that he doesn't like. Therefore, be mindful of fantasizing about your romantic life and realistically figure it out. When a person finally realizes that it is just their overactive imagination the reality of their imagination is that they're dreaming a dream. The disappointment that you feel, family, or the illusionment often shifts to disillusionment. That is the disappointment that you feel when you discover that something is not as good as you expected or thought it would be. Are you with me? Disillusionment is when you learn that everything that glitters really ain't gold. Disillusionment shifts us to disappointment when we become skeptical and critical and judgmental, blaming and accusing others because we believe that others have let us down. But it was just my imagination. Disillusionment causes us to think that others have done us wrong and cheated us out of opportunities and possibilities. When we shift from illusion to disillusionment, from fantasy to reality, we know better now what we didn't know before, but it doesn't make us any happier. You follow me? We know truth. And we also learn that truth hurts. Does that make sense? Those two, most of us, we don't only deal with illusion and delusionment in the secular, but it's a problem for some, if not most, if not all, in the spiritual as well. Check this. Some people are under the illusion that becoming Christian will remove all of our problems and pain. And we become angry with God when that doesn't happen. Some imagine that because they are Christian, God will do for them what they ask. And they become resentful of God when it doesn't happen. because God is rich. Many Christians are under the illusion, have this fantasy, this imagination running in their head that we too are supposed to experience financial prosperity. And when it doesn't happen, we are cynical with God because of our ongoing financial needs. We imagine that all Christians behave Christ-like, especially towards us, another Christian. And we become critical and hurtful and vengeful when we are not treated in Christian love. Family, I'm so glad that Jesus is not caught up in illusion. I'm so glad that Jesus is not caught up in imagining. I'm so glad that Jesus is not illusional about our behaviors. Because if that was the case, there would be no one who would want to deal with us. Some of y'all missed that. I'm so glad that Jesus understands our silliness and our sinfulness and our shortcomings. Otherwise, there would be no one who could help us or heal our human hurt. I'm so glad that Jesus understands our imperfect processing, our imperfect perspectives and practices, because if he didn't, chances are good that we would not be Christian. Family, our text teaches us that Jesus is uncompromising when it comes to relationships, because Jesus knows that every relationship that is not based on the expectation of, is not based on the expectation of our illusion, but on our faithfulness to Jesus. Okay, the choir got it. I see some of y'all confused, so let me try to help you get it. Jesus knew that there were people who were attracted to him because of the miracles. And we're not talking about Smokey Robinson today. The sensational things that Jesus did, they were attracted to that. And as a result, Jesus trusted no human, only God. Jesus knew no one understood the way he had chosen, God had chosen Jesus. Nobody understood that. Jesus understood that. And Jesus knew that many would follow him as long as he produced free fish fry dinners. Jesus knew that people would follow him, that he would show up at any emergency in their lives and restore. Jesus knew many would follow him as long as he turned water into wine, the best wine. Family, be clear that Jesus was not ego tripping. Jesus was not delusional that people would easily give up their way of thinking and living and behaving and quickly follow him. Not even his disciples. Jesus knew many would soon turn away. Jesus knew folk would stop following as soon after they got all they could eat. Jesus knew folk would turn away, stop following as soon as they got what they wanted, as soon as they got blessed. Remember the ten lepers, and 10 got healed and 9 went on the way about their business, and only one had the sense to come back and say thank you. Remember blind Bartimaeus in the temple when they said, who sinned? And the man said, I don't know about this man, anything about him. All I know once I was blind, but now I see. Not many came back to say thank you to Jesus. And Jesus asked the man, come on and follow me. He said, can I wait till my daddy died? Daddy wasn't sick. Get this, family. Jesus did not trust in people because he knows he was what was really on the people's minds. Jesus knew that if he had begun to talk to people about service and denial, they wouldn't want to do it. Jesus knew that if he had begun to talk to them about self-surrender to the will of God, they wouldn't surrender. Jesus was under no illusion, family, that if he were to talk to people about carrying a cross, they would look at him cross-eyed like he was crazy, deranged. It's the same look that pastors get and some church leaders get when we ask congregation to financially give a little more. Y'all know the look. It's the same look that pastors and some church leaders get when we ask people to sincerely serve a little more, to just join one ministry. Y'all know the look. Some folk didn't attend or don't attend Bible study because they are under the illusion that they are good enough and know enough already. I ain't looking at nobody, because some attendees close their ears and hearts while others are totally avoided last year's teachings on forgiving and forgiveness because they were under the illusion that moving past resentment and restoration should be handled differently than the way God intended. I'm about to say something strong. Y'all ready? Jesus does not believe that we believe in him just because we are here in church this morning. I'm going to just let it. Jesus doesn't believe that because we call ourselves Christian, that we really want to live like a Christian. Did you hear what I just said? We may fool others, or it may look like we love Jesus because we have a little charismata. We may fool people because we participate in a ministry. We can quote scripture, we can preach and teach and sing or serve. We may fool people, but we cannot fool Jesus. The text says, many people noticed the signs he was displaying. They saw the miracles, they saw what he was doing, and seeing, they pointed to God. Oh, this is a man of God. This is a man of God. Oh, he performed this. He's the man of God. You know how we won't say God. We say God. God. We drag it out. God. That's a man of God. Seeing, they pointed straight to God and trusted their lives to him. But Jesus didn't entrust his life to them. Knew inside and out, knew how untrustworthy they were. He didn't need any help seeing right through them. Let me put it down for you. Does Jesus believe that you believe in him? Does Jesus believe that you believe that he is Lord and Savior? Don't look at me. I can't answer for you. I've got to answer for myself. Does Jesus believe that you believe in sincere service? Does Jesus believe that you believe in the Bible and that you willingly study the scriptures? Does Jesus believe that you believe in the Holy Spirit? Does Jesus believe that he has first place in your life over everything and everybody? Do you worship God solely because God is God? Family, it's less about believing in the prophetic and more about believing and following the prophet Jesus. Jesus did not and does not want us to be followers unless we clearly know and definitely accept what is involved in following him. J- Jesus ain't going to be mad if we don't get saved. Jesus didn't say, man, nobody got saved this Sunday. I'm not going to show up at the church. I'm going up. Jesus doesn't get hyped up about that. Jesus already knows. Can't nobody draw a crowd like Jesus? Jesus is not even on the scene in the flesh. And every Sunday all over the planet, folks show up in churches under trees, in caves, underground, in their homes, in hospital, to follow and listen to the word of God. Can't nobody draw a crowd like Jesus. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea from beyond the Jordan. Large crowds followed. Jesus withdrew to the sea with his disciples, and a great multitude from Galilee followed, and also from Judea. But this family, this is why they follow Jesus. And it's the B part of verse 23, which says, many people saw the signs. Miracles can be defined in the Greek at least three ways. Teres, a conjuring. It's like a magic trick. You know, there were some people that performed certain types of miracles that Jesus did. Remember when Moses turned his staff into a serpent? So did Pharaoh's boys. They ain't got nothing on me. So we had serpent against serpent. We had conjurings. And then if there's a miracle that falls under dunamis, which is power, it's an act of extraordinary power. When Jesus spoke to the waves and the wind and said, peace be still. That's extraordinary power. And then there's Simeon. It's a sign. It's a sign. Simeon is a sign. It's a sign. It's not a simple astonishment. It's not a simple wow. It's not a simple awe. It's not something. It's not some powerful act. A sign tells us something about the character who perform the miraculous thing done. Did you hear what I said? The sign of Jesus not only shows that he can perform miracles, but it shows something about Jesus' character. Here it is. When Jesus performed a miracle, it told people something about the power and the nature and the character of God. When Jesus performs a sign, it reveals to us the love that's in the heart of God, which explains why God does for us what God does. Check this. Jesus is not angry with the people who only follow him for signs. Because Jesus had already moved. There was no illusion. There was disillusionment. Jesus understood why people behaved the way that they did. So when people didn't follow Jesus, he didn't go off. He said, do you. And I said, do you. I'm not going to chase you down. And on Sunday mornings, the preacher doesn't chase you down. The Holy Spirit won't chase you down. But Jesus is also clear that only a relationship in him that is based on faithfulness will last and transform us. Only a relationship in Jesus Christ has the power to transform and change our lives. Jesus does not get angry when we don't give back or when we don't come in. Jesus' confidence is in God's grace, not in the numbers, We had a bishop. He'd been gone long enough. I ain't gonna call his name because, you know, he was involved in the numbers game. Just get people in the church. Just make people come. No! People connect with the church because of them and Jesus. Yeah, yes, we ought to invite people. I'm so glad the mourner's bench is gone. Because there were some fake Christians. You know, they get up shouting so they could go to movies that afternoon. Oh, Jesus, Jesus! So they could go hang out after church. I'm so glad the mourner's bench is gone. Some of y'all are too. But Jesus' confidence is in God's grace that can do anything for anyone. Do I have a witness? If our trust is in people, we will end up at some point deceived, despairing, and disappointed. But Jesus never gave up or gives up or lets us down. Even if we haven't given our lives, if we haven't desired a relationship with the Lord, Jesus continues to say, come on, just come on. Don't worry about your habit. Come on. Don't worry about that you living together and not married. Come on. Don't worry about you being locked up. Come on. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Just come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, some trust in Lexus GS350s, and some trust in 7 Series Beamers, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Do I have a witness? Blessed are those whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. But God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrates his love for us that, knowing that we were sinners, knowing what we were doing and not doing, Christ died for us. There is no imagination or illusion in Jesus. There is no fantasy, only faithfulness in God. And the people of God say together, amen. Can we stand and give God thanks for loving us in spite of us?